Hey, this is Fish and Frank, and we're doing a fishing report with Captain Matt Hagg. And morning, Matt.
Morning, Frank. How you doing today?
All right. We got Robert with us today on the line. You there, Robert?
How you doing, Matt?
Absolutely. What's up, Mr. Bob?
So,
not too much.
Yeah, it's one of those days. Did you go out in the water today, or were you smart and stayed home?
No, sir. After I scraped the ice off my windshield this morning so I could take my son to school, I came back and got into my nice cozy couch and turned on the TV today.
Yeah. Really smart idea.
For those guys fishing today, God bless them.
I actually haven't been able to get a hold of anybody. I don't know who would be, you know, out and about on the water. I mean, you know, once you're charter boat captain, you know, we know you're not that bright, but, you know, that's a whole different level of stupid.
Yeah, some of us, I do know a couple guys that are out. Captain Ben Chancey's out today down Fort Myers on a Goliath trip. He called me this morning crying that his people were going no matter what. They were from Minnesota, and he tried to explain it to him.
So. Yeah, Florida's a whole different level of cold. Al Roker on the Weather Channel this morning was in Miami, and they were all laughing at him because he was all bundled up and his hands in his pocket, and he was cold. And it was 40-some degrees, and they're laughing because the guys up north are in minus 16, and they look warmer than him. But
I tell you, other than today, which I wasn't going to attempt that, but the last 3 days, my bite was awesome.
Really? What's been going on?
3 days ago, I had a couple of bad days where what I call a bad day, my clients call a good day. I'm spoiled. Today is Friday. On Tuesday, I switched from shrimp to pinfish. I did it last year when we started getting cold, and we had a decent wind, had a south wind, and I set up in a couple spots, and I caught over 30 redfish over 7 pounds.
Wow! Now, how were you rigging the pinfish?
Tell you what, I didn't have one way, Frank, that I would call the right way, because even my guys were rigging their own. I was ripping the heads off some. I was hooking two pinfish on one hook through the bellies and ripping their heads off. So I was using them as a dead bait.
Gotcha.
I was belly hooking them. I mean, there really was a trick or a secret way that day. It was just getting the pinfish to sit on the bottom in the sand hole.
So the best thing, though, was not using live pinfish.
No, because we were also, that's what I mean. It was a bite that I had that day where as long as the pinfish was in the hole, it didn't matter if he was dead or alive.
Wow. Now, jig head or hook?
On the jig head. I was using a quarter-ounce VMC jig head.
All right. Yeah, we've been, next time you're up this way, I'll give you a pack of the Rockport Rattlers. You'll have to try it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've been very successful with them on the variety of sizes you can get in the hooks is really cool too. And Charles and Vicky will be here for our tent sale.
Awesome.
Are you gonna be here March 14th for the sale?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So you're gonna get to meet Captain Matt Hagg March 14th here at the store, and along with a whole array of other people. If you haven't clicked the tent sale button, click that. We have the most amazing lineup this year. Penn just was here yesterday and dropped off a bunch of combinations of rods and reels, and they're not factory combos. These are combos that Penn wanted to put together just because the guy knows they work. And
for our area.
Yeah, it's just an amazing selection of stuff. I was shocked
because
I don't get to see what they're going to do, you know, because the factories all do different stuff. Each year they have their own things. Well, this year Penn's planning on a huge combo display of factory pre-mounts plus ones that they put together because they like the rods and reels together. They're not, you know, they don't sell them as a combination, but they're putting them together for the show as that. And
yes, sir.
It's crazy. You're gonna be shocked when you get up here, Matt. It is gonna be chaos.
Yeah, I'm all about chaos. I can talk for hours.
I'm looking forward to having you back up here in the store. Now, have you been fishing south? I mean, you fish a lot down by the Caloosahatchee and Captiva, Sanibel, Pine yes, Island sir. Sound. Have you been doing anything north of there?
I have. Well, day before yesterday, I get my days off. Day before yesterday, in that wind, we had that northwest at 25 knots.
Oh, yeah, it was nasty.
We had a group trip that did not want to cancel. A bunch of sales guys from around the country were here. So it was me, Tom Fisher, Ronnie Jones, and Paul Lambert. Ronnie and Paul went north out of Burnt Storm Marina. Me and Tom went south. Everybody struggled early. About 11 o'clock, again, I went down and cast netted pinfish. I sat up in less than knee-deep water on bright sand. Don't ask me why I did.
I mean, that really goes against everything you should have done.
Yes,
that's being touched by the gods for a day. That's Poseidon tapping you on the back of the head and said, listen.
Stop here.
Yeah, just, I've done that, gone along and just stopped for no reason and then you caught fish. But that's pulling the magic bunny out of your behind right there.
Yeah, the boat I run in the wintertime, it's an advantage to me because I'm able to run in. It'll run in less than 2 inches of water. So when it's rough, I can slide around. And for a few days, I was seeing some big snook in an area in the middle of the day in the sun. And I said, you know what? I stopped about 200 yards short. I let the wind blow me and just talked to the guys. It took us about 20 minutes of drifting to get up where I wanted to get. And I said, guys, the bite is so rough today that we're going to basically throw some baits out and act like rod holders. We've got nothing better to do.
Yeah.
The very first cast was a 37-inch, 18-pound snook.
Wow.
What are the odds?
It's amazing. Like I say, you were touched by the gods right there. Wow. So
we caught three fish over 10 pounds in about an hour, you know, on a day that you should not have caught a snook on the flat. I could see under a dock or deep water or the power plant up in the Calusa Hatchie, but not in less than 18 inches of water.
No, that's absolutely, that's the Hail Mary. Okay, we're not going to punt. We're going to try and run one in. So
yeah, I'm going to basically keep shoes on for a few days so when that horseshoe falls out, it doesn't break my toe.
Yeah. That's right on the money with that. So anyway, you're on this trip and you decide to drift up in there. Really smart move, because if you take a little while to get there, the boat doesn't create such a presence.
Well, I like to say, Frank, our area, I fish tournaments from South Texas all the way to Virginia. We have the smartest redfish on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
They know in shallow water, they have seen a boat or been caught their whole life. They feel the pressure of that boat. So if you can limit that, if you can turn off your trolling motor and ease to where you're going and take your time, you raise your chances on quality fish, there is no doubt.
I agree 100%. And the other thing about it is, even if you went in there and anchored up, it'd still be 20 or 30 minutes before you were going to catch anything,
yes,
because
sir.
It's taken that long to settle down.
If they come back within cast of you.
Yeah, if they would even come back to there.
Yep.
So, no, that's really good. Now, once again, you went out, you cast netted the pinfish. Now, were you using them live, dead, combinations?
Now, when we were fishing the sandy bottom, I didn't feel that the dead bait was going to be the way of attack. So we basically just belly hooked pinfish so the jig head would hold them to the bottom and they would flutter. You know, that's one of my winter techniques is it holds them in a place where the fish doesn't have to chase them.
Yeah, but they're still active, they're fluttering, they're in distress. I want to get out of here, I'm stuck in this one position.
Well, and a big thing with me is when the water's cold, the fish slow down, and they're not as willing to chase a bait as they are just to walk over and pick it up.
Absolutely. I mean, I know right now I'm telling you that there is no way I'm going over next door to the gas. I made coffee. I'm sitting here waiting on it to brew. I'm not walking to the gas station. It's too cold.
Exactly.
So I know exactly how they feel. I'm going to sit here in my little office and coffee's brewing right over there, about done. When Robert starts talking, you know I'm on my way to get my coffee.
Well, I tell you, I had a double book today, and my afternoon client, he's a Florida guy, he laughed. You know, I didn't have to make the phone call. But my morning client was like, you know, we're from Wisconsin. We don't mind the cold. And I said, well, listen, I'm going to explain it to you as nicely as I can. Our fish are from Florida. They're not from Wisconsin.
Exactly.
But he didn't say anything else. And he goes, not at all.
that's the way to explain it. I mean, and the other thing they don't realize is Florida has the coldest 60 degrees on the planet.
There's no doubt.
If you get on a boat in Florida and it's 60 degrees out, you better bring your jacket, if not your snowmobile suit.
I love when clients get on the boat, Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, Ohio, you know, the group that we have normally that vacation here, and they get on the boat and they're in their shorts. And it's, you know, between 50 and 65 degrees. And I look at them and go, you want to go grab something else? No, we're good. We're from so-and-so. All right. As soon as I pull out of that marina and turn the corner, you can watch the hair grow off their legs.
Yep.
They're freezing.
Oh, wait a minute. Here you go, Robert. There you go, Robert.
Okay.
Robert's back on. I turned him down when the microphones aren't being used. I always back them off so we don't get the background noise. But anyway, Robert, what were you going to say?
No, I agree with that. I mean, people don't realize you're standing there in a little bit of an enclosed area. The sun's beautiful on you, but you hit that water and it's done.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Robert, I love it in Burnstorm Marina because in that marina, it's like a 10 to 15 degree difference no matter what day it is.
Absolutely.
So they walk up to the dock. They're in heaven. I'm there in a polar vortex suit.
Yep.
You know, they laugh at me. Then we turn the corner and they want to get in the suit with me.
Yes. I always, you know, I didn't think, I've never really considered myself that tough, but, you know, I'd be taking somebody out in a charter and I'd sit at the dock. I'd say, can go back to the car and grab it. You got any jackets in the car? Yeah, we won't need them. I said, please go back and grab the jackets. Nah, we won't need them. I said, so in other words, in 15 minutes, you're going to be asking for my jackets, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Or, and it never failed. I'm sitting there, the Florida boy, wuss himself, freezing to death because I had to give them my jackets.
Hey, I was thinking, there's always a woman on the boat, and you look back, and she's shriveled, you know, she's sitting there shivering, and oh, no, I'm good, and then you take off your bibs, and you give them to her, and you go, no, I'm used to it, man, no problem, you can have them, and the next thing you know, she's got your jacket, and then I'm the icicle.
Exactly, that's exactly what it is, and, you know, the thing that's, I think, needs to be said about that is that the reason you do it is they're some of the nicest people on the planet. They're just wonderful people. But they just don't understand that when I finished high school in northern Wisconsin, and I can remember days when it was in the 30s and 40s, sunshine, I'd get on a motorcycle, and I'd have a flannel shirt on, jeans, and ride the motorcycle around town.
Yes, sir.
You did that here, you would die.
Hey. I put a video on Facebook this morning. If you just go to Matt Haig, I had to scrape. Usually, you know, you get up in the morning, you start the car, you hit the windshield wipers, fluid, you scrape a little bit of frost off, you go on. So, you know, me and my son get in the car, I squirt the windshield wiper fluid, I put another coat on the window, I laugh, I get out with the water hose, you hit it with the water hose, you definitely always get it off. I just made it thicker. I had to get a paint scraper and scrape it off my windshield this morning.
Wow.
And then I drove from my house all the way to his school, which is like 13 miles, and it didn't melt on my windshield on the drive. The little piles of ice stayed on my windshield the whole drive.
Oh, man. And, you know, what's really funny is we have a group of guys, some firemen up in Canada that listen to us regularly. And how you doing, guys? I hope you're warm, well, and happy. And they have to be laughing at us. Like, you guys are the biggest wusses on the planet. You know what I mean? I mean, we're really lucky. I mean, 16,000 people worldwide on the average listen to Radio Fishing. And we're very blessed to have a bunch of people from Canada listening. And they've got to be listening to us going, yeah, I met Frank. Yep, he's a wuss.
Hey, I'm the first to admit, if 2 days ago on that charter, I was in jeans, two shirts, a long sleeve shirt, and my 100-mile-an-hour suit.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, that sounds like Robert when we do the fishing club, because we get out, we always like to have a snack afterwards, you know, and we're up at Luigi's, so, you know, we go sit outside where we can imbibe in the nicotine, and he was sitting there, and they have the steel chairs outside.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know, I've lost all the weight because of the diabetes and all that stuff, you know, and I would have thought I would be the one. I mean, he's still got some meat out of him, but he couldn't hardly walk to the truck.
Nope. I don't like this cold at all.
My Florida bones know it.
So, anyway, so pinfish have been the answer in the last couple of days.
Yeah. I love my shrimp this time of year, but last year, late February, early March, I switched to pinfish. And I looked in my journal, and I'm pretty close to the date, but weather, I mean, the temperature's really the trick. As soon as our water stays cold for a week or so, our fish will get acclimated to it, and our redfish bite and trout bite will actually get better. When we were in that cold, warm, cold, warm, cold, warm, our fish they never got in transition. They were just in a pause, you know, and it wasn't the greatest bite.
Well, we always tell people in here, it doesn't matter if it's cold or if it's warm. It just has to stay that way for a while.
Exactly.
You know, like everything else, when I'm in the cold for several days or a week, I kind of acclimate to it, and I get so it doesn't bother me as much. But those few days of it, I mean, and even when I lived up north, I remember going out in the fall, and it would hit down in 60 degrees, and you'd shiver. And then 3 months later, it gets up to 60, and it's like Dream City. You know, you're just warm and wonderful. But it's always that when it starts, and then when it gets chilly, and then all of a sudden you get those days in the 80s. Now, we got 80 degrees coming up on Wednesday.
Monday.
Monday?
Sunday and Monday.
No, they've already backed it to Sunday, Robert.
Oh, Jesus.
So we get cold today. We're going to have a high of like in the 50s, maybe 60 today. And
then 75 tomorrow.
And then 80?
Yeah.
God, I love Florida. God, I love this place. I really do. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't care what anybody says. I love Florida. You know, okay, it's 55 today, but we're going to be 80. I'm going to be comfortable. I'm going to be nice again.
Yeah.
I want my cutoff T-shirt. You know, I can wear the jeans for a while longer, but I don't like sleeves. You know, and today I got one of those SPF shirts because they make the best long underwear on the planet.
Yes, sir. And I'm in my house with one on myself.
And then I put a cotton T-shirt, no sleeves, of course, on over that, and that's the best insulation I've found. And then I've got my big regular kind of not quite flannel but almost shirt on, and then jean jacket. You know,
so the layers.
Oh, yeah, lots of layers. So, any questions, Robert?
Not too much, no.
Yeah, Robert's being real quiet this morning. I don't know. I think he's cold. I mean, you think I'm bundled. He has gloves, insulated jeans, underwear, you know, thermal underwear.
Wool socks.
Wool socks. A buff around his neck. The winter buff. He's got one of those around his neck. He's got a sweatshirt.
I wore my Nanook from the North hat in this morning.
Yeah, he's got a sweatshirt, a jacket. I mean, I'm looking over. You know, he almost looks chubby.
Well, I can tell you the only time I'm going outside today is when I go back to school to pick up my son. Other than that, I've got no reason to come off the house. I see a very long Xbox Live day for me today.
Yeah, I got that. Now, here's where we're gonna put you on the spot for this, because talked a little bit about what happened, and you've been, because of your record keeping, and it's always the mark of a good captain having a journal to know when the fish bite and not pay attention to it by the month, but by the temperature.
Yes, because I don't look at the time of year, because our whole calendar is shifted a month in my eye.
Oh, yeah. And so you check the month, but you're looking for the temperature differences. And so you might have to go and look in January, February, or March, or December to find the weather conditions we're in. You find the weather conditions, you pick the right bait, you did a great job figuring out where to go on this. Now, what's your forecast? Because we just talked about everything's going to change this week.
Yep.
What's your forecast? if you're going to give advice to people, because one of the reasons, you know, charitable captains are historically not known for helping, but one of the reasons we have you on the show is you're exceptionally helpful to anglers and recreational fishermen who are or are not your clients. And what would you advise somebody to look for here tomorrow and Monday? What kind of bait? Are you going to go to popping corks and shrimp or pinfish on the bottom or lures? What's your forecast for what the fish are going to do and how would you fish for them?
The biggest thing is our outside temperature is going to change fast. Our water temperature is not going to change fast. So for the next 3 to 5 days, no matter how hot it is, you still have to fish a deep winter pattern. So you're definitely going to want to fish your canals, your creeks, you know, anywhere there's a flowing, moving water. As crazy as that sounds, you would think that would be cooler water, but it's more of an area where the fish buckle down to the bottom. Your sheephead, trout, and redfish are the only species I would attack that I think you would be successful, you know. Not counting
outside of your big
mackerel.
Snook, and I mean, yeah. You know, unless you know right where Matt was, and you've been touched by the gods, you're probably not going to do that.
I'll keep that horseshoe squeezed tight.
Yeah.
And the ultimate clue is to have you. You know, you could actually go up there around the Orange River. You could throw Rapala XR8s and XR10s, and slow troll them or throw them and be very successful on jack tarpon and snook. It's a wintertime pattern. When that water drops and the temperature coming out of the Orange River is going to be a steady 74 to 78 degrees, so those fish are going to come to the jacuzzi. Now, if you're not privileged to be up the Coosahatchee and you're on the flats anywhere from PGI Canals to Sanibel, you're going to have to look for your deep water patterns. Your 3 to 5 foot of water minimum. You know, your deep potholes, your deep canals, your deep creeks. And you're going to have to slow down from using jigs, you know, to jig and shrimp. You want to slow down, and as soon as you think you're going slow, slow down.
Now, what we've been advising is, and, you know, I guess I'm a living commercial for the Rockport Rattler right now, but what we've been advising the people to do is we rig them up, just take the fan part of the tail off, put it through there.
Yep.
And
rig it backward.
Then give a lift to the rod and let it set, and then count to 20.
Well, what I tell
folks is, lift the rod, let it set.
If you've ever bass fished and you rubber worm fish the same style but slow down. You know, you're basically going to throw it out. You're going to let it drop. You're going to know it's at the bottom. You're going to give it 10 to 15 seconds. You're going to lift your rod tip. You're going to lower your rod tip. You're going to tighten your line. And like you said, wait 10 to 20 seconds. You're going to lift your rod tip. You're going to lower your rod tip. Reel up the slack. It's a very easy, slow process. And 9 times out of 10, that fish is going to hit on the drop.
Yeah. Now,
you know, they'll sit there. They'll stare at it. You'll move it. They'll move towards it. And as soon as it starts to drop again, they hit it.
Yeah, because I think what it is, I think they think it's going to burrow in the sand and try and hide.
Yes, sir.
Because shrimp, they'll sit there and you watch them on the sand and all of a sudden all their legs start moving and they just sink straight down
they're
into
going.
The sand. And just their eyeballs are sticking out. It's wild to watch. So you're thinking redfish, sheephead, sea trout. Now, if I was going to do it because of the way the bite is, I normally fish the DOA deadly combo poppers because they have a heavy weight on them. They're easier to cast. But
if you're over a grass flat and you're looking for trout don't care about the cold, you know. And absolutely, the DOA deadly combo, the DOA shrimp itself on the flat is a very good bait. And when it's cold, I like the ghost, you know.
Right.
I like having a little white color in my bait.
The one thing is that I probably wouldn't do is use that right now because it's so cold. I would switch to like the Cajun Thunder or the Bomber one or one of them that have the plastic beads on the top and the metal beads on the bottom. Because
the Cajun Thunder.
They don't reset so quick. The Bomber resets too fast, or the DOA resets too fast. That Cajun Thunder resets slower. It will put you more in tune with the pace of the fish.
And Bill Hall, the gentleman who builds those baits out of Texas, he sound chambered those. He put a lot of effort into making that sound like a trout pop. There's a lot of, there was a lot of technology put around the Cajun Thunder, which I didn't know being a Florida guy. When I was out in South Texas and I first started fishing those in Louisiana and Texas, I met Bill Hall and got to know him. And once you get to know him, you'll know, you'll talk to him for a while. But the Cajun Thunder is a great popping cork for the wintertime.
Yeah, I mean, I usually fish the DOA, but to be quite honest, right now I would switch to the Cajun Thunder because it forces you into tempo.
Slow down.
You know, those beads on it, which create that perfect sound for it, actually drop slower. And I don't use a split shot. I'm using about, depending on water depth, you know, my leader and then my shrimp on it. But it takes longer for it to reset to get back to the popping position, which forces me to fish correctly at this time.
Yes, sir.
And
I agree.
You know, I like the Cajun Thunder. I love the DOA and all that. But I have found that by changing my popping cork, I can actually change more to meet the situations. As it warms up and the fish are getting more aggressive, I can hit the DOA more often and get a little longer cast out of it. But at this point, I don't think it's as effective as the Cajun Thunder. I think the Cajun Thunder is going to be your number one bet if you want to drift the flats with a popping cork for some of those trout.
That's it. I agree.
I know I'm not normal. You should have a favorite thing, but I've never found one thing that works all year to the best effect.
Here's what I like to tell. Here's what I like to say about that when it comes to that. Do they make all those colors for baits to sell for fish or for us? You have to find what makes you comfortable. When somebody says, "Hey Matt, what's your favorite lure?" It's the one I'm going to grab out of the box and I'm going to throw the longest and have the most confidence of catching a fish.
Oh yeah, you sell somebody a new lure and they throw it 20 times and they'll catch a fish. They go, this doesn't work. They take out the one they've been fishing for years. They throw it.
And they'll throw it 200 times.
And catch a fish with it and said, "See, I told you this would work."
Yep.
Always works out that way.
You know, you're a big Rapala guy, and as I am. I love throwing Rapalas. I think they work better than most of the lures. I love mirror lures for the twitching, but for as far as lure with a lip on it, I usually pick a Rapala. And Rapala makes Storm, and that Storm twitch, if you haven't tried it yet, you got to try the Ghost.
I have.
Unreal.
A woman from
Canada, they sell them. She says it's one of their better selling lures in Canada. She says, "Well, that won't work here. That's a freshwater lure."
Yep.
that's you're right.
Well, her
husband bought one the day before. He bought 8 of them yesterday.
Nice. Well, long before the X-Wraps came out from Rapala, we threw, the mirror lures and the freshwater Rapalas, which we would just change hooks on, just for strength, for years, and up in the river, I mean, those are my two go-to baits is like you said, mirror lure and Rapala. I mean, if you're a snook fisherman, Rapala.
I'm going to add one to that because I fish that trestle there. Actually, I have to add two because the train trestle up in the Caloosahatchee.
I got to have a DOA. Listen, before you say anything, my favorite on the trestles is the DOA Terrorize.
Okay. So we're going to add a third. We got the DOA Terrorize. Now we also have the Maverick Golden Eye, the large size. And then
I haven't thrown that one.
That's an old one. It's probably before your time. I'm a little older than you.
Oh, the old Maverick.
Yep.
I got some hanging in my shop.
Yep.
I know exactly. Yes.
It's before your time, but it still works. I'm still one of the few people that carry them because I use them. I mean, I love the Maverick Goldeneye.
Yep.
And the Rattle Trap. Now, to me, when I'm fishing deep around that trestle and I need to move slow and make some noise, there's not a bait in the world like a Rattle Trap.
You know, as big a bait as it's always been, it's not one that I've ever given time in use.
Well, you're going to meet Wes from Rattle Trap when you attend the Fish and Frank's tent event.
Yep.
And you're going to understand. We're going to have special. We have Fish and Frank's Rattle Traps in two forms. One, we have our logo promotional rattle traps, and that's on a standard sinker. But we also have one that Rattle Trap makes exclusively for us that's for 1 to 3 feet of water. And we carry it white and green, white, and a gold pattern. Yep. And you twitch them like you would a mirror lure, because while I believe mirror lure is the epitome definition of twitch baits.
Absolutely.
And but sometimes you got to have a different shape and a different action. And we had Rattle Trap make us a lure to do that. I'll give you one of those for you to try. It's really cool. And once you meet Wes, you'll understand why I'm one of the largest Rattle Trap dealers in the South. We just... The guy is amazing. They're all made here in the U.S. And like you say, it's kind of a forgotten bait. When I first got into business, we sold a gazillion Rattle Traps, and then it kind of died out. And people are finding out again how great this lure is.
My very first redfish ever was caught on a chrome with blue back redfish. Or
Rattle Trap.
Chrome with blue back Rattle Trap.
The cold's got your mouth messed
yes.
up.
Yes.
That was last week, right?
No. No. Thanks, Matt. Yeah. Been a while since I've touched a fishing pole, too.
Oh, no, nice one, Matt.
Yeah. No, I like the Rattle Trap's kind of cool lure because, I mean, I caught it off of El Joe Bean fishing that deep water, just trolling it along, walking along the pier with it.
Listen, I've got tons of friends that over the years that love them freshwater and saltwater. It's just not a lure that I ever put in my hands. And
in it's forever.
Kind of, the biggest thing is game of time. You know, I've thrown them, but if, like you said, if you're in an area where you knew what you wanted to use, but you're trying something new, you only give it so long before you put back on what you want to catch a fish on because you're confident with that lure.
You're breaking up a little bit, Matt. I don't know if you went to another room or something.
I did. Sorry about that.
All right. That's better. Now I can hear you good again.
Yeah.
But see, I agree with you. And it's we're exactly in agreement. We're 100% together on it. But I think because I'm in the store and people are asking me about fishing and, you know, I want to catch this. Well, where are you going?
Yep.
And when I find out where they are, I tailor my choice of lure more to where they're fishing and what they want to catch. And I'm lucky. I mean, I've got a huge selection of choices to be able to give to them. And it's hard to carry every lure in the box.
That's impossible.
You know what I mean? When I go fishing, I don't have that much. I've got some DOA Cal Shads. I've got Rockport Rattler Jig Heads. I've got... which I always use the DOA jig head before, but I do like the rattle. I got the Storm Twitch, but I always had the X-Rep with me before that. So, you know, it's just one of those things that even me, who has one of the biggest tackle boxes any one person can have, doesn't always have exactly what I want. But when I'm doing it for customers, I can kind of customize it more.
One of the number one questions asked when I'm doing the seminars, Captain, what's your favorite lure? And I say to them every time, that's a trick question. And they look at me like I'm crazy. And then I say, well, what's the temperature of the water? What's the temperature of the outside? What's the sun doing? What are the clouds doing? Where are you at? What's the scenario? Are you in shallow water, deep water? What color is the water? I mean, I can go on.
Exactly.
So it's the lure toy.
And that's what I run up against in here. But I will tell you, you know how hard those little tarpon are to catch, the little juvenile ones? Now, the DOA Tiny Terrorize, the little tiniest one.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. That's great. And the quarter-ounce standard Rattle Trap, black with chartreuse. I will put the quarter-ounce Rattle Trap up against any lure anyone has on those little tarpon.
Anywhere. I've never tried it.
You will be shocked.
I've only been fishing for a year, so I've got to learn these new lures.
Wow.
Well, what happened was, it was probably about 26 years ago, 27 years ago, I had this whole school little tarpon there, and I went through pretty much every lure I could lay my hands on.
Yes, sir.
And the one I came up with was, I started with the silver black back in the quarter
standard
ounce. And I went to the tiny ones, the little crappie rattle traps, and I did pretty good on those. But I wasn't as consistent as I was with the quarter. And it's my dad said I liked it because it's an idiot bait. You throw it out, you slowly reel it back in. You know, he said, I know why you like that lure, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, wait till you try that on those little tarpon. And when you have the brown water dark like we have when the canals are all full of the little tarpon, it, usually a lot of dark water, that black with the chartreuse, just.
Yes, sir.
I can honestly say at least 60 people this year who have never successfully caught a tarpon got their first tarpons on the quarter ounce rattle trap this year.
Well, I'll have to grab a couple because I have, now they're not little tarpon, they're all mongoloids, but I've got some river monsters in the Coosahatchee that I've been fishing for the last 25 years with no consistency. I mean, when I say, you can look at them all day long. Some days, one day they eat, the other 30 they don't.
It's amazing, you know? Isn't it? They're the most frustrating fish on the planet.
Yes, sir.
They're already hard enough to catch when it's normal summertime bite, let alone put them up in a river or canal system, and you multiply that by 10 times.
Now, I've got a canal in Cape Coral that if they go in the canal, you can catch every one of them.
Really?
You know?
DOA tiny terrorize, right?
It does. You know what? If they go in that canal, I throw the pearl white DOA terrorize, and I don't care how you're moving it. Now, unfortunately, I'm talking 100-plus pound tarpon. And, you know, it's great to jump them. You know, you land one in 20 just because you're asking a lot from that hook. It's got to be in the perfect spot.
Right. No, you're asking way too much of it. But, you know, still you count on jumps. What I do in those situations is I pinch the barb down on the hook.
Yes, sir.
And that way, even if he keeps the lure, it just falls out. And
yes,
there's
sir.
No real harm or foul to the fish, no more than if he tried to eat a stingray or something, or
exactly.
A catfish. So, you know, it's always the best method. But anyway, so your pick for this next week is stay with the cold water techniques for the next few days, because even though the air is going to feel beautiful, the water's
not going to come up that fast.
Right. Anything to go on with this?
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, water's more dense, so it takes a lot longer for it to warm up and a lot longer for it to cool down.
Yes,
you know, it goes the same way in the fall. You get that first cold front of the year. Everybody thinks they're going to go crappie fishing because, hey, it got cold last night. Water temperature's still 75 degrees.
Exactly.
And it didn't do a darn thing. You know, so you're absolutely 100% accurate with just going very slow and watching the water temperature, not the air temperature.
You know? I would be hard-pressed to think that water temperature would get over 62 degrees, 63 degrees in the next 3 to 4 days, no matter what that sun does.
Right. The only thing I would say, like, for, like, snook that don't like the cold, I would think that you would probably be able to get them to chew maybe in the late afternoons on some of those flats located close to cold.
Yeah, from 3 to 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, it's been up all day, and they've been sunning themselves a little bit, you know, but they're always going to be located near that deeper water where they can boogie back down into it.
That's it.
But other than that, I think absolutely accurate with the slow and deep.
So, anyway, Matt, do you have a link from your website to your Facebook thing?
You know what? It'll be up within the next 6 to 10 hours.
Okay, because I have a link to your website, but I don't have a link to your Facebook thing.
I will have that information for you the next time we talk.
Okay, because and when I get back on the Fish and Franks account, I'll try and find your Matt Haig. It's under Matt Haig, or
just, I've got, you know what? I've got it under Matt Haig, and I've got it under Matt Outdoors. Unfortunately, I end up doing everything on just my name.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'll find the Matt Haig one, and if I can, because sometimes you type the name and there's, you know, there's too many choices. You can't really find it.
There's only one of me. M-A-T, one T, and then H-A-A-G.
Okay.
So I'm strange enough.
I'll look for that and try and put a link next to this broadcast so that they can go and see that video that you put up.
Yes, sir.
So I'll try and find that. But anyway, I guess we're going to let you go. Anything you'd like to tell people? Do you have any openings? I know you get really booked at this time of year. Do you have any openings?
I do. My March, I've got a lot of days booked in March, but I've got a lot of half days booked. So I've still got a lot of availability in March and April. And my tarpon season's filling fast. If you got tarpon aspirations at all, if you're going to go with any reputable, you know, say it in big words because, you know, I'm just a fishing guide.
We were talking about, you know, fishing guide earlier, yes. But if you'd like to go with a very good captain who's got an unbelievable track record for as far as hookups and landing of tarpon. I can promise you Matt is one of them. There is no doubt about
it. My June is completely booked, and so I have some May left, and I have some July left, if that tells you anything. So if anybody's thinking about it, the quicker the better.
Yeah, and the good thing is Matt is not a newcomer to the industry. Matt's been doing charters for a long time, and he's worked with different factories representing him. He's well-versed in the tackle and the fishing end of it. So, but Matt and I have been friends a long time, just to put it that way. So anyway, we're going to let you get going, let you get back to your Xbox. It's a day for it.
Right. It's a perfect
All right, guys,
day for that.
I appreciate it.
Well, I'm wishing I was sitting home in front of my fireplace. I got my guitar stand right next to the fireplace, and my coffee maker's about 8 steps from there. And I was in front of the fireplace right now, just having a coffee and playing guitar.
Maybe we can let Robert catch his second record soon.
Nice.
Well, wow. if you get a day where you ain't doing much and you want to take a couple of newbies out, give us a holler. We'll come down and go fishing with you.
You can take me Absolutely. Up there. Take me up there on the river and let me catch one of those silverfish or a striped mullet. That'll be all good.
No, I tell you what. Our next cold front, it'll be good. You know, we haven't had long enough periods of real cold to push those fish up river. I believe this is the first one that's going to cause them fish to transition and move east in the river, and I believe our next one will actually cause a real good bite up in the river.
Well, I would love to get back on the Caloosahatchee, and I know Robert would really like to get up there to the...
I've just never seen it. I'd love to just Absolutely. See it. If I stick a fish, great, but just to see it and learn a little bit about it would be cool.
Yeah, give us a holler. We'll We'd really love to be able to come up and fish that Caloosahatchee with you.
I read a book once on it. I mean, I think I can do it. We can try.
I spent a lot of time there at one point on the Caloosahatchee and fell in love with the fishing and just the whole area and everything. And sometimes, I mean, I love the Peace River's my home. There's no doubt about that.
Sir.
But that would be, the Caloosahatchee's a wonderful mistress. I got to tell you that.
She's nice to have around the back door.
So, anyway, well, that was Captain Matt, or this is Captain Matt Haig, and I'm fishing Frank Roberts in the chair across from me. Been just discussing just kind of general fish and what's going on, because there is so much out there to, I don't know what happened to my thing here, why it's not working. But anyway, there's supposed to be music in the background. The producer of this show just kind of sucks.
I would sing for you, but it would just chase people away, so we'll end with that.
All right. Well, we'll see you on the next radio fishing.
Thanks, Matt.
Yes, sir.